Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning, those in the breezeway, those online, and hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving today. And wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of the Living God this morning. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. This is a piece of scripture I've been meditating on for quite some time. Luke chapter 24, 13 through 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning." This morning, that means the Sunday morning. "They didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see Jesus." Father, we pray this morning that you would just send your Spirit upon us in a very personal and special way, Lord God, as your children, as we come to worship this morning, as we come to learn, as we come to understand, as we come, God, to sit at your feet, we pray that your voice would speak clear to us this morning. We ask, God, that you would open our eyes that we might see things that are happening that maybe we didn't see before. We pray, Lord God, that you would open our ears that we would hear things that maybe we haven't heard completely before. Teach us, Rabbi from Nazareth. Teach us the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. For we are your people, and you are our shepherd. We worship you this day, and we draw near to you this day. This we pray in your most holy name. Amen. And it's good to be with everybody. You all may be seated. And so this morning, I want to start with a question. So I need to ask you a question. I want you to ponder on this question with me. When was some of the most memorable times of change in your life? Have you noticed that life changes? I want you to think about, when was some of the most memorable life changes that you've ever experienced? Can you think back and maybe just ponder for a moment your timeline, your journey? As a young kid growing into wherever you are in this season of life, what was some of the most memorable life change that you've ever experienced? As I was thinking on this, going from junior high to high school was a radical life change for me. I was the younger brother of my brother named Kenny Winans, and I was known as Kenny Winans' little brother. When I went from junior high, when I was in eighth grade, I was on top of the world at Big Bear, junior high school. But when I went to Big Bear High School, I became a peon. I became a freshman. And I was, there goes Kenny Winans' little brother, and I was tormented by my brother's friends that year. I hated ninth grade. They threw me in trash cans. Yeah, where was the, anyway, that, you know, life change. That was a radical season of life change in my life. This last week, my son, Jeremiah, he was honorably discharged from the Army. He did his 6-year, service in the Army. And, so on Wednesday, he finished his 6 years of service, serving the United States Army in the National Guard. and Thursday was Thanksgiving, and that was a radical time of life change, the day that he went to basic training. And yet, it was kind of cool to talk with him now. He says, you know, Dad, I'm glad I did it now. As I look back, it was good, but man, that was hard. It was hard. It was hard. When was some of the most memorable life change in your life? Junior high to high school, or maybe college and moving out on your own for the first time, or certainly getting married is a life change thing, or having kids is a life change thing. For some people in here, like my dad would say that December 7th, 1941 changed my dad's life because he was a kid on a farm in New York, and all of a sudden he found out the country's going to war and his life forever changed. He was in the Navy. Life changes and we can't stop it. And I think for me, some of the hardest life change that happens in my life is when I expect life to go one way and then it goes somewhere else. It goes a way that I didn't expect. And I think, dude, does that pretty much describe 2020? Did anyone expect this to happen? In 5 years ago, when someone asked you, so where do you see yourself in 5 years? Did any one of you say, oh, I see myself in the midst of a pandemic? Anyone guess that one? None of us could have figured this out. And here we are in the midst of radical life change happening in our country, happening in the world. It's safe to say that we're living in days where our world is forever changed, hasn't it? I think for some of us, we're just trying to figure out, see, the world's already changed. We're just trying to figure out how is it already changed. I'm trying to get a handle on it. It was cool to try to tell my kids, you know, did you know that there was a time when you could go to an airport and you could walk up to the gate? Anybody. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember that? And then 9/11 happened. And the world was forever changed. Ever. And there's a whole new generation that has no idea what TSA, we didn't have to go to, no, there was no such thing. See, the world had radically changed. We're just trying to get a handle on this. Friends, our world has radically changed this year. And we're just trying to get a handle on how has it changed? How much has it changed? Am I ever going to go watch a movie again at theater? You know, I mean, like, geez Louise. Are we ever going to shake hands again? Ever? Are we, right? You know, it's interesting. Talking with people in the industries, they're like, you know, when this lockdown happened, people were like, we're going to lose 20 to 30% of our productivity if we don't get our people back in the office. We need them back in the office. This stay-at-home thing's not going to work. Now talk to people in the industry. They're like, our people are more productive working at home than they are working in the office. I think that the world that we used to live in of going to work 5 days a week in an office is over. It's gone. Maybe hybrids, maybe working 2 days in the office a week is now going to be what's happened. The world has changed. We're just trying to figure out how has it changed. Lately, I've been thinking about our brother and sister, I believe it was Cleophas and his wife, were walking on the road to Emmaus. I've been thinking about them and what was going on in their life on that day, that Sunday morning, and comparing their disappointment, their shock, their confusion to the year that we've been experiencing as disciples of Jesus. See, as they were walking on the road to Emmaus that morning, their world had forever changed. Forever changed. Jesus had risen from the dead and the world has forever changed. And they were just trying to get a handle on it. They were just trying to work it through. They were just trying to understand it. They were in the midst of processing a most radical event that changes the world. We are living in one of those moments. They were trying to understand what God was doing. They were trying to get a handle on what was going on. At that moment, their dreams were dashed. They expected the life to go one way, but it went someplace else. They're confused on what God is doing and what God's permitting to happen in the world and what God is doing in the world. Doesn't that sound a little bit familiar to our year? Doesn't it? A little bit? And actually, I love how the text starts. I've been thinking about this and I smiled when I started reading it. It says in Luke 24, 13 and 14, it says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. They were talking and they were talking and they were trying to process all that had happened." How many words have you used this year talking to yourself and other people trying to process what has happened this year? Are you tired of talking about everything that has happened this year? They call it COVID fatigue. People are just sick of the pandemic. They're talked out of trying to understand. They're tired of the lockdowns. How about political fatigue? Have you had your fill of politics this year? Are you still hungry for more? I have political fatigue. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Me personally. I'm done. I don't want to talk. I try to go in the other room now and I just don't want to talk about it. These people were talking about things that were happening in their life, radical life change, and I smiled and I said, "Man, we've been talking about this for almost a year, right?" See, I thought that's what was so cool about last Sunday here at this church. Last Sunday here at this church, we had a special Thanksgiving Sunday. And afterwards, we had the In-N-Out truck come. And it was so fun. And we were talking about this in our core staff meetings this week. It was like our church for one day, it was normal again. If out in the courtyard, people were laughing. And people were, you couldn't tell if they were smiling or wearing masks, but you could hear joy and laughter. And it was like for one day, we had almost took a time out from this year. And we had a day where we could just reflect upon the things that we're grateful and thankful to God for. And not look at the confusion of the world, but just thank God for what is. It was a good time for us as a church, and I'm so glad it happened last week. I think we all have COVID fatigue and political fatigue. And just to be grateful and thankful, what a mindset. I pray that you and I can stay in a mindset where we can be thankful, where we can be grateful for the things that God has given us as we journey in to this storm that we find ourselves in. In verse 13 and 14, they're talking about it. They are talking about it. They're talking about the shock, the confusion, their anger, their frustration. They're talking about it as they leave Jerusalem. And what's so cool is that Jesus shows up and he helps them process what's going on in the world, right? Listen to this. Luke 24, 15 through 17. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Oh, Lord, would you please come up and walk alongside us, right? But they were kept from recognizing him. Interesting text. Was it his glorified body? Jesus had been resurrected. It's a glorified state. Is that why they didn't recognize him? Is it because he was wearing a COVID mask and they have no idea who he is? Because I don't know who you are until you take out, oh, I know you. It just says God had kept himself from being recognized. God intentionally just wanted Jesus to hide for a moment. You could tell Jesus was having fun with this, right? He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you're walking along?" Look, they stood still, their faces downcast. Does that sound like 2020? They stood still and their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" This disciple is not one of the 12 apostles or the 11 apostles at that time. He was a follower of Jesus. And I love how Jesus begins explaining. He begins explaining to Jesus all the things that's happened in Jerusalem, and I can't believe you haven't heard about this. Didn't you hear about this guy named Jesus? The Messiah, the miracle man from Galilee, the guy that comes down on Palm Sunday Road. Didn't you hear about Jesus? He's flipping over the tables on Monday, and on Tuesday he's rebuking the religious leaders. He's doing miracles in the temple. He's at Passover. He's riding on a donkey. He's fulfilling prophecy. Where have you been? Where have you been? And the whole time we're watching this guy, we're thinking, he's the one. He's the Messiah. He's the one. Where have you been? And they begin recounting to Jesus what they had seen during this week, the Passion Week of Jesus, Easter Week of Jesus. And as they're saying these things to this stranger, recounting everything, almost rebuking him, like, what planet are you living on? They can't stop talking about it. Then they killed him. We had hoped that he was the one that, he was the Messiah. We had hoped that he was the one that's going to redeem Israel. We had hoped this, but the world went this way. And now we're confused. But in the morning, as we woke up to have breakfast, two of our sisters came and said that the tomb is empty and they saw angels. And we're out of Jerusalem. It's time to leave. And here we are trying to get an understanding, right? And at that moment, the stranger seizes the conversation. At that moment, this stranger seizes the platform of the confused disciples. And he kind of declares that school's in session, right? And friends, I wish I had have been there, because this is the greatest Bible study that has ever been given in humanity. Jesus seizes the moment and he begins explaining what's going on in the world to these two. Listen to this. Luke 24:25-31. And he says to them, how foolish you are. How slow to believe that all the prophets have spoken. All the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, that's the Old Testament, friends, and beginning with the Torah and the Haftorah, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. That, I wish, would have been recorded. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went and stayed with them, right? Pretty cool text. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized it was him. And he disappears. Come on, dude, don't you wish you were at that moment? Would that have been the most awesome experience to have? In the midst of their confusion, in the midst of their disappointment, as Jesus draws near to them, hope returns. The fog begins to clear. I've been thinking about this. What was Jesus' message to these disciples? What was his message to them? Out of these dark days is not the end, but the beginning. A whole new season of life and opportunities to walk with the Messiah, the Son of the living God, are upon you, are upon the world, are upon us in this room. What Jesus said to the road in Emmaus was that the world was about to change radically with his resurrection from the dead. And it was all part of God's purpose. Preordained purpose, that the Messiah would suffer, that the Messiah would raise from the dead, and a new day would dawn. And it did. And it still does. As our sister Sarah in Israel says, when we take our trip and we go up to a place called Mount Arbel and we look over the Sea of Galilee, it's so cool to go there. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, walk in the land of Jesus. You get up and you look down and here's this beautiful sea. that's 14 miles long and 8 miles across. And Galilee means wave. And Sarah, our Messianic Jewish guide in the Holy Land, she says, this is where the ministry of Messiah begins, Isaiah 9. Those that lived in Galilee, in the Sea of Galilee, those that walk in darkness shall see a great light. And she says, this is where the wave of the Messiah begins that now covers the world. And it still is to this day. The wave, as a surfer, I love that image, this wave that just covers the world. This wave, the Galilee wave of Messiah, is flowing all over the world today. And it began then, and these disciples didn't quite get it. They didn't quite get it. What do you think of this year? My brothers and my sisters, I don't quite understand 2020 except it being birth pains that Jesus spoke of in Luke 21 and Matthew 24. Plagues and pestilences a part of the days before the return of Christ. Is the days we're living in a wake-up call, or is it the last call before the Son of God returns? I don't know. But I do know this. The more I draw near to Jesus, the more I will find clarity, the more I will find a peace that surpasses all understanding that guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, in this world you will have trials and tribulations, but take care. I take courage. I've overcome the world. I give you a peace. Not that this world gives. I give you a peace that comes from me in spite of this world. He says, I give you a joy. Not that this world gives. You stay close to me and I will give you a joy that's not of this world. What I do know in the midst of this year is that our goal is to walk close with Jesus this year. Because the more you walk with Jesus, the more you will find peace and hope and rest and joy in Christ. And that's, as your pastor, that was my goal when we began in September of this year to go through a series called Experiencing God. In September, I remember sharing with you guys, I want to put a challenge out. All of us need to be like Mary getting close to Jesus, or be like these disciples. We need to walk with Jesus real close, because the closer we walk with Jesus, we're going to get clarity and understanding. And so I challenge you to grab this book, 20-minute devotionals a day. Scripture memorization. Get in a growth group and discuss it together. Zoom growth groups. And just like in a marathon where everybody starts off all at once and yet the pack kind of thins out, we're all going to cross the finish line at different times, but keep going, and I pray that you finish. And I hope that on this journey that you've experienced Jesus, that you've drawn close to Jesus. God's will in your life, unit one. Isn't that good to know? What is God's will for the world? Boy, we're asking that right now. What's God's will for the world? What's God's will for your life? Love and God's invitation. God pursues a love relationship with you, for God so loves the world. Did you know that God's will for your life is to know Him and understand Him, to walk with God in this world? It talks about God speaks. Part one and part two, there's a crisis of belief. Whenever you're going to walk with God, you're always going to enter a crisis of belief. Do I follow what Jesus is asking me to do, or do I not? Do I adjust my life to God, or do I not? Do I walk in obedience, experiencing obedience and the lordship of Jesus in our lives? The chapter on God's will in the church, it's classic. Kingdom people, experiencing God. It's the purpose of this book was to get you to walk with Jesus. That's it. Just to get close. Pastor Frank just wants you to get as close to Jesus as you can. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to see clarity in this world. Jesus will explain it to you. Walk with Him. As we walk with Jesus, He's going to explain it all to us, friends, either in this life or the next. But clarity comes. Stay close. Walk with the Lord. That's our goal. This week is the 12th week. We're ending this now as we begin celebrating Christmas. I like this. You're going to read this week, and I think it's a good point. He says, many people who study experiencing God feel a letdown when they finish the course and stop meeting regularly in their small groups. Many tell us that they hated coming to the end of the course because they feared their Christian life might go back to the way it was before. Let me encourage you by saying that this does not need to be the case. Your encounter with Christ through this material has not been an end, but a beginning. I pray that God has shown you how you can experience a love relationship with Him that is real and fresh every day. I trust that you've been challenged to watch and see where God is at work and then join Him. I hope you've made the adjustments in your life that God has asked for and now are obeying everything that He's told you to do. But all of these things is only the beginning. God wants you to know and experience Him more. He wants you to understand new truths that will set you free. There is far more of God's nature and His purposes and His ways that he wants to reveal to you. This course should be only the starting point for a whole new adventure of following Christ. That's good. That's good. As we've learned to walk with Jesus and we've learned to recognize these things, we take this into the world, into the future. It's just a tool to be used to help us walk with God and experience God in a radically changing world, just like back then and just like now. And so as this last day of going through this series, I want to talk about some things that we've learned that we need to do to continue to experience God in this radically changing world that we live in. And as we do, I want to have you take an image of your Thanksgiving meal that you had this week. Could you shoot up that picture? Does this look familiar? Did anyone encounter this week? We did it twice. We had course number two last night. The turkey and the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, the beans. Take notes with me this morning if you'd like to. Things to continue to do to experience God. Number one, stay close to the Word of God. Stay close to the Word of God. Stay close to the Word of God. Luke 24, Jesus says, He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. People, to experience God, we need to read and study the Bible. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's the meat. It's the turkey. It's the meat. Everything else surrounds the turkey. The Word of God is the meat. When you read the Scriptures, you are experiencing God. God wrote them for you. Every time you open the Scriptures, you're experiencing Him. Every day as we went into this series, you were challenged to read Scriptures. The reason why we are closer to the Lord now than we were in September is because you guys have all gotten in a habit of doing a quiet time every day, of praying every day, of reading the Scriptures every day. And the more you draw near, good habits, drawing near and drawing close to the Lord, studying His Word every day. It's the meat. It all revolves around the turkey, doesn't it? keep reading the Scriptures. Keep studying the Word. I don't think you can experience God in a vibrant way without eating out of this every day. Okay? It's a discipline. Keep experiencing God in His Word. All right, how about this? Back to our picture. So if the turkey is the Word of God, what do you think the mashed potatoes are? How about staying in fellowship with each other? Note number two, stay close in fellowship. Mashed potatoes and turkey go well together. I don't know about you, but I like to take my turkey, dip it in the mashed potatoes before I take a bite. Does anyone else do that? That's what I think. They just go well together. The turkey and the mashed potatoes, a little bit of gravy. Oh boy, that's just good stuff, right? The Word of God goes well with other people. Staying in fellowship, staying in community is key. It's important. Stay close in fellowship. Hebrews 10, there's a favorite text. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of the return of Christ. See, meeting in community during this pandemic has been critical. Not just for learning the ways of Jesus together, but encouraging each other in a tough year. Praying with each other. We're journeying in this year together, drawing near to God and drawing near to each other. It's so critical. Don't stop. This week, within the last 24 hours, on my phone, I got one person telling me, Pastor Frank, pray for me, I have COVID. I got two people that passed away and one person that just got engaged, all in 24 hours. This is called church. In the last 48 hours, in the last 72 hours, I don't want to talk about it. We live in community. See, you need the person next to you, and the person next to you needs you. We need God. We need the turkey. But you need the mashed potatoes to go with it. It works well together. I love how these two were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they were discussing it together. They were discussing it together. What is God doing? They were discussing it together. What's going on? And they're trying to process and they're working it out as they're with each other. Who do you have in your life that you discuss this with? Who do you have in your life that prays with you and you pray with them? Who do you have in your life that you call and they call you during the hard days and the good days? Who are the people that God has placed in your life that love you and cares for you and watches over you? And remember, as I said last week, you need to not take these people for granted. You need to thank God for them. We live in community. During this, it's been so cool, and I love hearing the stories. You know that there are people in Louisiana joining growth groups that we have here doing Experiencing God. There are people in Louisiana that are jumping in on Wednesday night's growth group with Mark and Renee Clark, going through this from way over out yonder. In San Diego, and many, I mean, all, it's so cool that we're journeying together in this great community. Don't give up hanging out with each other. See, here's what's happening. A lot of us, as we deal with isolation, we're struggling with depression and anxiety because we human beings were designed to be in community with each other. and we fight for it. It's the mashed potatoes. It goes really good with the Word of God. Discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. Discipleship, spiritual growth, happens in meaningful relationships. You seek out these meaningful relationships and you walk with each other in them. You love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, cry with one another, weep with one another, rejoice with one another. All the one another's in the Bible. Our faith is lived in community, and the evil one wants you to not believe this, to isolate yourself. He comes around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. Most of the time when I see Christians that fall away in their faith, the first thing that happens is they isolate themselves. Somehow they get away from the pack, and then they begin to grow cold. It's the plan of the evil one. We walk in community. It's the mashed potato. Can you imagine having Thanksgiving with no mashed potatoes? That would just be horrible, right? It wouldn't even count. It wouldn't even count. So, picture. The turkey is the Word of God, right? The mashed potatoes is community. You stay in community. What's the stuffing? What's the stuffing? Take notes with me this morning. What did we learn? We learned this, that God is always at work. See where God is at work and join Him. Stuffing works well with the mashed potatoes and the gravy. Where is God at work in the world? And you join God in what He's doing. It's called the John 5:17 principle. It's one of the best things that comes out of experiencing God. As Blackaby would say often, God is already at work in the world. You just need to see where is He at work and you join Him in what He's doing. Don't ask God to do what you want to do. You see where God's at work and you join Him. And boy, that's such a radical shift of thought. John 5:17, in His defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at His work to this day, very day, and I too am working." See, God is always at work. God, can I join you and be a part of what you're doing? Did you know that God has been doing some crazy things in the lives of people during this pandemic? For me, in my own personal life, I am seeing God touch people that I thought were untouchable before this pandemic. I am watching the Lord soften hearts and draw people to Him in this pandemic that I just thought was impossible. Blowing my mind away. God is at work right now in this pandemic, in the world. He is doing amazing things in the lives of people. See where God is at work and say, God, can I join you in what you're doing? How can I be used by you, Jesus? There's a great story in John 4, and I love this story. Early in Jesus' ministry, He goes to Samaria, and He goes, and it's a famous woman at the well, right? And Jesus is at this well, and His disciples go down into Samaria to get some food, and Jesus is sitting at this well. And what's so stinking cool is you could go to this well today. I've drunk from this very well. You know how cool it is to grab a bucket, you drop a bucket down a well, and you hear a splash, and you crank it up, and you can drink from Jacob's well, the same well that Jesus drank from? It's pretty cool. Jesus is at this well in Matthew 20, and in John 4, and this woman comes up, and Jesus tells her, you know, he just basically reveals to her, I'm the Messiah. And she runs down into the village, and she says, you will not believe who's at the well, Jacob's well. You need to come see this guy. And as she's taking off, the disciples come back. They're like, Jesus, what are you doing with this chick? Right? It's a little weird, you know. He says, just take, you know. And they're like, listen to this. Listen to this. I love this. Jesus, well, if you read it, you'll read in, He says, I have food. Lord, we brought you food. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. That's the stuffing. God is at work in the world. There is food that you don't understand, Jesus says. This is my food. To do His work. God is at work. That's a principle. I want you to remember this as we leave. Always be cognitive and understanding that God is always at work in the world. God is always moving in the world. The purposes of God are happening today. Even in a pandemic. Even in 2020. Even in all that's going on. God is at work and God is moving. And you see it. And Jesus sees it. It's the stuffing. See where God is at work and join God in what He's doing. What things do you need to continue to do to experience God? How about this one? Some would argue that the most healthy thing on that plate is what's green. Some would argue that the green beans are what's healthy. Note number 4. He is the Lord. Adjust and submit to Him. See, the green beans are good for you. Submitting to God in your life is good for you. Submitting to God in your life is good for you. See, blessings comes in obedience. Now and in eternity. See, He is the King. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Sovereign One. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. I love that. And in Christ you've been brought to fullness. He is head over every power and authority. Jesus is King. 1 Timothy 1, 17 says, now to the King eternal. How long is Jesus going to be King for? Eternity. That's a long time. How long is eternity? Now to the King eternal, immortal. He's never going to die. He's invisible. The only God. To Him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The green beans is the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus is smarter than you. Jesus understands what's going on and you don't. Jesus is more powerful than you. Jesus sees better than you do. He understands better than you do. He calls you to follow Him. Jesus says in Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't follow me? Really good question. The Lordship of Jesus. To follow Jesus in our lives is good for us. Is really good for us. Let's face it. When we quit following the Lord is when we mess our lives up pretty good. We struggle to be the people that He calls us to be and do the things that He calls us to do because we struggle with the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. And the more we learn to walk with Jesus and submit to Jesus, it's good for you. And it's good for the world. And this is the journey that we're all on in trying to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Every day, He's the King. He's in charge. He's the Lord. He's the one who made me. He's the one who created me. He's out for me. He's watching out for me. His purposes are good in my life. Will I trust God? This is the journey, the Lordship of Christ. You will not experience God in your life if you don't allow Him to be the Lord of your life. To submit to Him. And this is the hard one. He is God. It's good for you when you submit to the Lord. Your marriages are better when you submit to the Lord. You'll be a better employee when you submit to the Lord. You will be a better father or mother when you submit to the Lord. You'll be a better money manager when you submit to the Lord. I mean, Jesus comes along the disciples on the road to Emmaus and He's the Lord risen from the dead and He's walking with them and He just starts explaining it all to them. This is what's going on. He sees, He understands. See, the more we adjust and submit to Him, the more we will experience Him in our lives. And that's good. It's the green beans. Here's the picture. What's the meat? The Word of God. Mashed potatoes? Dude, fellowship goes with the Word of God. Discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. The stuffing is the John 5:17 principle. God is always at work. Jesus says, this is the food that God has set before me to do the will of my Father. And as he's saying that, here comes the whole hillside of people from Samaria coming out to meet him. That is what I've come for. God is always at work. We join God in what he's doing. The Lordship of Jesus, it's good for you to submit to the Lord. These are the things that we've studied. This is the journey that we've been on. And lastly, there's one more thing. The gravy. The gravy. The gravy. Last note with me this morning. Keep praying. Keep praying. See, prayer covers everything. Prayer covers everything. If I had it, gravy covers the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, and even on Thanksgiving, you throw it on the green. Green beans need something to taste good anyway. You got to mix it in. Keep praying. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This was the text we used last Sunday. It's a beautiful text. See, prayer covers everything. Keep talking to God. Keep being thankful for the things you have. As you make petitions of things that you want to see God change in the world, you always come with an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness for what God has done in your life. And you take prayer and communication between you and God into every aspect. It covers your Bible reading. It covers your fellowship. It covers your time of serving God and seeing where God's at work and join Him. It covers the Lordship of Christ. Prayer covers it all. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Keep talking to God. Keep seeking and keep asking and keep knocking, Jesus says. He loves it when you talk to Him. You take prayer into the future. See, prayer covers everything. In September of this year, it's kind of funny, over the summer, Sin and I grabbed this. See, we as a church did this in 2008, and I just grabbed it, and I started reading it again. And I was like, I don't remember that. I don't remember this. Man, that's good. This is good. And Sin and I, we were reading this like, this is awesome. And I just felt the Lord going, Frankie, it's time. I want my people to go through this again. 12 years later. And I was sitting there going, man, Lord, in September of this year, in the midst of a really tough, as I look back on 2020, I'm like, this has been a really hard year. And in September, I'm guessing it's not going to be any better. And I just felt the Lord saying, my people need me. They need to draw near to me. And I'm like, here you go. Let's do this, Lord. In September, I challenged you to grab this and start doing your quiet times. 20 minutes a day. Scripture memorization, get in a group, talk about it, let's journey together. We journey through. See, I knew, and it's still true, as we walk on this road to Emmaus, the world around us is radically changing. And I love it. It says that as Jesus comes alongside them, it says that they stopped and they're downtrodden. Their eyes are they're looking down. I cannot believe what's going on in the world as Jesus comes up and walks alongside them. Don't you almost feel like when you look at 2020, you're like, what are you doing, Lord? And we almost can just be so talked out about it. We're done talking about it. We can struggle to even our hopes and dreams and things. And all of a sudden, Jesus, come walk alongside with me. And he comes up alongside. What things? And their eyes go down. They're distraught. Hopes, expectations, things change. But Jesus begins speaking into them What would Jesus tell you today? What would Jesus tell you today? In the midst of these hard times, out of these dark days is not the end, but it's the beginning. A whole new season of life and opportunities to walk with the Messiah, the Son of the living God, are upon you and upon me. He's the anchor for our soul. He's the one thing that won't change in a changing world. I believe Jesus would tell you that the world is not over. Yes, these are dark days, but these days bring new opportunities to walk close with me and to experience me in ways you haven't before. These are the days to draw near and close to the Lord and experience Him in all new ways as the world changes forever before our very eyes. He's our anchor. It's going to be okay. What's the worst that could happen to you? Die? I used to be afraid of death. And what did Jesus tell that thief on the cross? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Does paradise sound like a bad idea? The Apostle Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. Gain. What's the worst that could happen? Just stay close to Jesus. Learn how to experience Him. Learn how to walk with Him. You'll be fine. In confusion and despair, you hang out with Jesus, you'll find hope. You hang out with Him long enough, you might even find clarity. You hang out with Him long enough, you might find a peace that surpasses all understanding. You might find rest for your soul. See, what you need in the midst of this is Christ. Tell me I'm wrong. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, this Sunday after Thanksgiving, we as your disciples, we as your followers, gather in here today, in the breezeway, online, here, to worship you in spirit and truth. God, we come and bring to you our despair, our confusion, our sadness. God, we don't understand. We come and walk alongside you. And Lord, we welcome your voice. We pray, Lord God, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus, as we walk this thing called life, we recognize, Lord, that life is full of change. We've already seen a lot of change in our lives, God. Some good and some not good. But we recognize, God, that this is truly a vapor. That life is changing constantly. And yet you are the one fixed in a world of variables. And Lord, our desire is to draw close to you and to be with you this day. We pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit upon us right now, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to build our life on you. Jesus, help us to build our life on a firm foundation that will span the ages and span every circumstance and every hard season. Jesus, teach us how to build our life upon the rock. So when the storms of life come, our house will stand because it's been built upon the rock. Lord, we declare today that you are a good God, that we love you and we trust you. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to end by this song, I Will Build My Life, right? It's a good song. Let's sing this together. as we close.